I am thankful for the opportunity to share with you guys. When Andy first approached me about, well, we were talking about the series that was coming up, and he approached me about, who would be a good candidate to talk about emotions in regards to their lives and challenges they've had, etc. And for some reason, he thought that I might be a good person. And I don't know, I mean, if that's because I don't have any emotions. Or when you don't have any emotions, then you can appear that all your emotions are in control. And the reality about emotions are, as Andy said, that God has emotions. And because of that, because we were created in the image of God, we have emotions. And I bet every person, every one of us could say, if I ask this question, could you answer it? I'm not saying you have to answer it. Is there a particular emotion that you continually struggle with? And I know everyone's going to say no. And then you're going to, realize that Jesus doesn't like liars. And you're going to have to tell the truth. There are emotions that we struggle with. Some of us are very aware of that. And others, like myself, I don't really think I'm that aware of struggling with emotions, but evidently the things that the Lord has done in my life have really addressed those kinds of things. I know Laura always says, how do you do that? I'm like, do what? Well, how do you not care about this situation or let it really bug you? Or what about that situation with that, these individuals in the family that we were talking with? Man, doesn't that really get you upset? I mean, I'm just going crazy here, in my thoughts about what is going on and what we need to do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And I'm like, don't think about it. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what she's supposed to do. I'm just saying that's where I live. I don't think about it. Not that I don't care, but I guess I've come to the point where I don't want those kinds of things controlling me. Because the reality is if we don't control our own emotions, they will end up controlling us. And that's typically what happens. And by controlling us controlling them or them controlling us, what I'm saying is that is all part of the spiritual battle that we're in just because we've been born again. When we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've received forgiveness of sin, we receive a new heart, not a new spirit, but actually that's not fully true because we do receive the Holy Spirit as well. So that act of being born again and our spirit being regenerated and we are considered a new creation according to Scripture, that is the time the battle starts. Why is that? Well, because we are created in the image of God. We have souls. And we have life within us, and the devil is alive and well on the planet Earth. Did you guys ever remember that book from 30 years ago? Satan, the devil is alive and well on planet Earth. And he still is. And so we are immediately engaged in a warfare where we are told to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, and a lot of other scriptures. But what it does do is gives us insight that we are in the middle of an invisible fight, an invisible war. And we know that it's invisible because we've already looked at the scriptures in Ephesians talking about our wrestling. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There are powers that are working against us. In any and every situation you can imagine or you experience, there are things going on in the spiritual realm. And guess what? The spiritual realm is more real than what we can see and hear and feel. And if you're not sure about that, you don't have to do a big Bible study. You just have to know that the spirit realm existed before we existed. The physical realm came out of the spiritual realm because God chose to create. And that's why I know it's more real. I mean, when we talk about faith or we talk about spiritual warfare, a lot of times the things that come up are, well, we can't see this. We're just going to have to respond in faith, even if we're believing God for something. You know, we're told we don't we walk by faith, not by sight. So what that means to me is, if the things that you see, if we walk by sight, that means we're not walking by faith. So what that tells me is that faith, the opposite of faith, the true challenge of faith, is not what we would typically say that it was. It's not necessarily fear. It's not necessarily doubt. What I believe the true challenge to faith is sight. Think about that. So if we don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. That tells us those are basically opposites. And so we are engaged in something that we don't see, and we're even told when we stand in faith, when we pray, to believe something even though we don't see it. Even though we don't see it. Why? Because that is the realm of faith. That is the realm of the Spirit that we are a part of in this world. And there will be some time, you know, there will be some point when Jesus does return and we will go to heaven, or when we pass away, we'll go immediately into his presence, and we will see the difference between being stuck in a physical place as opposed to just being free in who we are spiritually in our relationship with Christ and actually be with him. And I don't know about you guys, but I constantly have people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this, why this person wasn't healed, or, you know, why this happened or how this works. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. And you are in the presence of the majesty on high. You aren't going to be wondering about that question you didn't get answered down on earth. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure about that. Pretty sure about it. But this whole thing of being in a fight, we all experience on different levels. And one of the things that's been a challenge to me is that the last 3 years, I've been in a wheelchair full-time because in 1991, I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And I did well. God sustained me. I had a lot of prayers supporting me. I still do. I think that's even why I'm doing as well as I'm doing. But guess what? When you're in a wheelchair, life is not over, you know? In fact, I was thinking about, you know, how the devil hates us and he constantly wants to attack us, etc. And I thought, I mean, I love to come up with little sayings that maybe are funny but make some sense. And I thought, you know what? I am not going to take stuff from the devil sitting down. In other words, and you guys know what that means. It means when we say that, what we mean is we're going to stand up. We're going to do something about it. And guess what? Even though I am sitting down, I'm not taking it sitting down, okay? Because that's the attitude, you know? And then even at work, you know, and when we have meetings and stuff, the questions come, you know, Bob, how do you handle these challenges, you know? And I've never thought about it in the way of, you know, emotions, kind of all the individual pieces that are all a part of that, good or bad. And I have to be honest and say, you know what? Believe me, I don't have everything figured out. I don't know how it all works. I don't always do things right. I am a sinner, just like everybody else. I have room to grow. But I think God has actually graced me, as he has graced many people, with wherever they are in life, God graces them to succeed. God gives you the ability to do what you need to do to succeed where you are, instead of, here's part of our emotions where it comes in. What we do many times is we step back and we go, oh, I don't like this situation I'm in. It's a struggle. You know, maybe that's not what God has for me. Because he doesn't want me struggling all the time. I'm like, have these people been reading their Bibles? You know, life is a struggle. I mean, I've heard this saying, and I don't know if this is really true, but life is hard, then you die. There might be some truth to that. You know, it might be some truth. So I don't fully understand the emotional thing, but once I could just look in the scriptures and say, well, you know, where does it actually specifically talk about emotions? And it does. In different places, but what helped me understand is that if all of us would understand that when we talk about emotions, all we have to really do is start with our thoughts. because our thoughts will generally be, I don't know if it's 100%, but will generally be the result of, our emotions will be the result of our thoughts. What are we thinking about? And if you're like me and never really thought about your emotions and saying, I mean, for one, if we don't think about our emotions, we don't know when we're going out of control. We don't know when we're offending someone. We don't know. We may become very selfish. But if we take time to check ourselves and say this, why am I, here's the emotion word, feeling this way? Have you ever thought that? You're in a situation, you're like, why am I feeling this way? Well, sometimes that's a perfect and excellent question because we want to just, you know, check it out a little bit in our thinking, ask the Lord what is going on, and that will give us some insight into why we're thinking the way we're thinking. If it's a destructive way, then we know that we need to look to the Lord and receive some promise from Him to help us in that situation. Do you realize that we have the same solution to the enemy's attacks against us that Jesus had when the enemy attacked Him? And we know that when, for example, when Jesus was out in the wilderness and was tempted by Satan, I mean, there was only three major questions that were asked, and Jesus only responded to two of them. But He did the same thing that we are to do, and that works. If the enemy is talking to you, first of all, if you don't hear the enemy talking to you, he's talking to you in ways that you just don't hear, okay? But when the enemy tries to challenge us or is talking to us or is telling us lies or accusations, all those things that you hear in your head, you got to realize are not probably not you. It is it's the spirit world that is coming into our world that is wanting to affect us in a certain way in our physical being and in our emotional being. And so we need to realize that that's the first and foremost thing that is important, is that when we are not controlling our own emotions, or we're wondering about why we're thinking about certain things or why we're in certain moods, the first place, and we can recognize after looking at that we are being spiritually attacked, then we go to the Word of God. The Word of God has a truth for every situation, a truth and its application for every situation that we will encounter. Everything that we experience, there is nothing that the Word of God cannot address directly. But it doesn't come directly, it comes through us. So we have to, first of all, know, be in tune enough and aware enough of the truth of Scripture that when we are evaluating ourselves in regards to how we're behaving in our emotions, that we have something to base that on. So, okay, is that truth? Is that appropriate? You know, sometimes just an emotional response just isn't appropriate. You ever seen that? I mean, you're in a situation, maybe it's a real glum situation, and appropriately so, because maybe it's around a death or something like that. And if you have someone like cracking jokes in the midst of that atmosphere, don't you just immediately think, that's not appropriate? Or am I the only one that makes that judgment? Right, come on. And that's important because there are things that are just not appropriate. Or just in our thinking and maybe in society, well, something happens, it's like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like that was the right thing to do. That person was out of line. Now, what we need to do sometimes is look at ourselves and say, I don't really understand why I'm doing or why I'm saying or feeling the things I am, but I think I might be out of line. Hey, guess what? If you get familiar with the Word of God, you will immediately know that, whether you're out of line or not, because Scripture is true. It brings conviction. It shows us when we're wrong. The other thing that is interesting about this topic is the fact that Annie mentioned this, that we, as human beings, we are, we're told how we are to worship God with our whole being. And that includes our body. That includes our soul. That includes our spirit. And some people don't really recognize this, but the truth about your body and your soul and what it entails and what it comprises of is all based on Scripture. And I don't know if you guys can pull up the First Thessalonians Scripture on the slide. And this is just a little illustration. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. And I can't see what's on the bottom of that. And I don't have that memorized, evidently. But anyway, you see the whole point. It says, it's making, may your whole spirit, soul, and body. That is our complete being. That includes everything. Everything physically, everything medically, everything physiologically. That includes who we are. And if you guys could pop up the next screen, the little diagram. This is just for informational purposes. That kind of gives us an idea of what we're made up of. Body, soul, and spirit. So we're a, what they call a tripart creature, creation, because we have three parts to us. And within the body, there's three parts. Within our spirit, there's three parts. Because we are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And our soul area can be broken down, and this, you know, there's some questionable things about whether this is accurate, but I believe it is, and I've researched it, that within our soul area, we have our mind, our intellect, mind or intellect, and our will, and our emotions. So that kind of gives you an idea where within our being these things are actually located. And you can see how they would be, if it has to do with our mind, you can see how thoughts would be very closely connected because these are both part of our soul. And our will, we make choices all the time. And that has to do with that area. It's something we have. It's something that's given to us. It's something that we can develop. Sometimes we think about developing our mind, but do we ever think about developing our soul as a whole? You know, like developing our emotions. And I guess that what that would mean is that we would become mature in our emotions, and then so that as a whole being, as a whole person, we can become mature as well. Because there are some of us that are, you know, mature spiritually, but not emotionally. And you can usually determine that by those things that you feel, ooh, I didn't feel right about doing that. But if you look in the Word of God, and we're only going to look at a few verses of Scripture because there are a lot of scriptures that would address this situation. But any that have to do with resistance or the fact that we're in a warfare would fit right into it because this is part of our struggle, is to do things right, is to do things in a way. Ultimately, we should get to the point where we can handle our emotions, and Jesus is our perfect example of doing that. Like, oh, someone's thinking, oh, yeah, I remember Jesus got really angry at times. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like Jesus and be angry all the time. Well, that's not quite the way it works. Anyway, so the other thing I want to share with you is that I'm realizing there are some emotions that I don't typically have. And through preparing for this message, and this could be really, Andy, a series in itself, but so it's kind of amazing. But there's just some things, and these are some of the things that Laura questions me about because we're very different in certain ways. And I guess emotionally is one of them. And she's like, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. So I try to explain it, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. But anyway, basically it's part of our struggle and those emotions that I said that I don't typically have. The other night, I felt like I was being attacked, spiritually attacked. And which, of course, if you can do that, and if you're going to say something that may help somebody in their walk with the Lord, that's a reason to be attacked. But the weird thing was, is I started having feelings. I started having emotions that I never have. I mean, I was going to bed, and I just was worried about my message. I was started worrying about some other situations in my family. Worry, 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 worry. And I'm like, what is going on? So I'm trying to evaluate that, and I'm thinking, I don't know really what's going on, but it is overwhelming me. It's overwhelming me. I mean, I woke Laura up three different times and say, would you pray for me? For one, I'm not sleeping, and I'm worrying. I have anxiety. I am not only getting anxious, I'm feeling like anxious and very confused. I had a lot of confusion. And I realized that that was about 5 hours. And so I lost sleep over it, obviously, and things like that. But the blessing was, is it came to an end for me. But the reality is what that did, it gave me some insight to understand what people, some people, experience all the time. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your grace to me, because I can now understand better. I can now have some, a little bit of empathy towards people that happens. And I don't know always why that happens, but I do know this, and I'm going to share some things at the end that are just things that I would encourage that you do, that I do, that seem to help this whole area of emotions and building up our soul and being close to the Lord. Because that's one thing that I have learned in this chair, is there is something different about me. Have you noticed that? There's something different about me because I'm in this chair. But even though that's true, God has somehow, there is a new opportunity, and any of us can typically find this in any given situation that changes. God has given me an opportunity to have a new experience of his love, of his goodness, of his closeness, of my relationship with him. And it really, truly is a blessing. I had some friends a little while back, and they wanted to pray for me. And of course, where do you think the first place that people, or the first thing that people want to pray about when they see me, or someone like me who's in a wheelchair permanently? And so they said, can we pray for you? Can we pray for you? Can we pray? Oh, yeah, you can pray for me. Yeah, that's great. A few more people gathered around. It's like, okay, there's going to be a big miracle going on or something. I don't know. But, and I was like, okay, but I want to ask you to specifically, I want to ask, you know, to for you to pray a certain thing. And it may not be what you're thinking. It may not be the most obvious need you see. And they're like, yeah, okay. And they said, what is that? I said, well, what I'd like you to pray is that God would be glorified in my life. Oh, yeah, sure, that's kind of a given. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. That God would be glorified in my life. And then I added, in this chair or outside of this chair, doesn't really matter to me. And that's not a lie. That sounds really good, man. But that's not a lie. That is the truth. I really don't care. I can do, especially in the spirit, I can do whatever I could do before. And maybe there's things that I don't have to worry about anymore. I don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about walking, which is true. But I was going to say also, I don't have to worry about falling down. And that's not true, by the way. Because I still use these legs that, you know, they're not working very well. But just a few days ago, I ended up taking a fall. And it was around that time of feeling all those emotions and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh. I haven't fell for over a year. Because I'm very careful. Because when I get out of my chair, I don't go anywhere until I'm holding on to something, you know. And so I'm also beginning to find out things that I can't do. Anyway, I don't know if we're going to get to all the scriptures. Is that okay? You guys have a Bible, right? But I just, you know, this whole thing, and there's so many things that we could understand and can learn out of the scriptures. But basically, I want to share what I've shared so far, I don't have the time to share even the three. When I'm talking a verse of scripture, it's not necessarily a verse. It might be a cluster of scriptures with four or five verses, and so that takes some time to get your way through that. But one I would mention to you, doesn't look like I'm going to have time to even talk about it. But 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Okay, are any of you familiar with that? Those scriptures. Oh, I guess they're right up on the screen. So it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I messed up my pace to that last one, obviously. But that verse of Scripture will really help in the sense of knowing what we have to take our thoughts captive. Yes. I mean, because sometimes our thoughts are running away. Sometimes our thoughts are more consistent with what the devil is telling us than what the Bible is telling us, what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And so we do need to take those thoughts captive. And I apologize that, for one, that's not up there right. But the other cluster of verses that I wanted to mention, that what I was going to get to kind of break down some of the other things that I've already shared, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, it's just, one of the things where we end up dealing with our thoughts, where we end up dealing with our emotions, and those are the things that it's addressing. And the only thing I can say is I think the reason I don't have a real issue with things like that is because I really, really, really try to let the Holy Spirit lead me and correct me and be sensitive to what he's telling me. And I think he must just help me with that, you know? That I think that may be an area where there's some grace on me to not respond in an emotional way that's inappropriate or that's out of control, and where, so to the point where it's not controlling me, that God has graced me to be able to do that. And I don't want it to sound like a cop-out, because, I mean, Scripture is very important. I'm not saying that at all. So I want to read this. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at proper time he may exalt you. Casting," this is very important for your emotions, "casting all your anxieties, all your cares, all your concerns on him." What that means is that you roll that over onto him. You commit it to him. You let go and you let God, okay? "Because he cares for you." That's a good reason to tell him about your cares, because he cares for you. Then it says, "Be sober-minded," or clear-minded. "Be watchful." These are things in this struggle, in this warfare that we're having. It's important to recognize that we have to be sober-minded. We have to look and see what things are going on. We can't be distracted, especially by this world. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Man, there's so much you could get into out of the Greek in this text. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Not seeking if he will devour someone. He is seeking whom he will. And guess what? He will. He will. I mean, this is totally serious. Seeking someone to devour. So what are we told? Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers, by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I mean, that is an incredible passage. There is so much, there are so many answers there. If we'll take time to look and take time to read and take time to meditate on those and say, "Holy Spirit, reveal to me what it is that you want to accomplish in this situation." Can I share just like seven things rather than opening it up? Because I already know, I'm sure I'm probably over my time already. I mean, I told them I only needed an hour. So I wrote down some things yesterday, and I think they'll be helpful to you. Let's see if I can do this. And I just want to share things that that I do that I think would be something that may be beneficial to everyone else. So number one, I would encourage you, seven things, if you're willing to write them down. I don't have this up on the screen or on a slide. One, believe the word of God. Believe the word of God over your thoughts and emotions / feelings and your knowledge of situations. Believe the word of God over all that. And I don't really have to talk about that, do I? Number two, be passionate about God and the gospel. Be passionate in your commitment to him, no compromise, and then be passionate about knowing that he is always gracious and merciful to you and with you. Number three, take time to think about God's nature, who he is, reflection, meditation. He is good, loving, and he's looking for ways to show you the Father's heart. Take time to think about the fact that he is in love with you. The God of the universe loves me. I mean, that is amazing. Number four, always be willing to make time to get quiet enough to listen to the words of consolation and encouragement that the Lord has for you by the Holy Spirit. Always be willing to make that time to get quiet enough to hear. Number five, put your faith in the power of God alone. Put your faith in the power of God alone. Persistently put your faith in the power of God alone, because he can do anything. Six, remember to rely entirely and solely on him. These will all affect your emotions. These will all affect your emotions. He doesn't need our soulish help or efforts or good ideas. Remember to rely entirely and solely on him. Number seven, and seven sounds like a good place to stop because it's a good number. Always be thankful and earnestly expecting your request to be fulfilled and answered. Always be thankful and earnestly expecting your request to be fulfilled and answered.